You drop me off in Deborah. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Today is Wednesday, October 10th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for they're all out for our weekly lunch and learn. And today we are going to be studying Parshat Noach, and we are going to be looking at a text which I gave you on the source sheet, but if you want to look at it in the Chumash, and for those of you who are following along on Facebook Live, we are in Sefer Bereshit, the book of Genesis, Perek Vav, starting at Pasuk Yud Gimel. This is where God tells Noach to build the ark, to build the Teva. Okay? So let's look at these psukim, and then I'll ask a question that we'll deal with. Vayomer Elokim l'Noach, Ketz kol basar ba'lefanai. Again, we're in chapter 6, verse 13. So in the Chumash, it's on page 30, and on it's on side 1 of the sheet. Vayomer Elokim l'Noach, Ketz kol basar ba'lefanai, ki malah ha'aretz chamas mepneihem, v'ni mashchitam et ha'aretz. God told Noach, he's decided to put an end to humanity, because they are filled with lawlessness. So he tells him, "Asei lecha tevat atzei gofer, kinim taseh et hateva, v'chafarta ota mibayet umichutz bakofer." Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make it an ark with compartments and cover it inside and out with pitch. V'zeh asher taseh ota. And this is the size it should be. Shalosh meot ama orech hateva. To be 300 cubits long. Chamishim ama rachba, u'shloshim ama komata. 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. Tzohar tasel ha-teva. You should make an opening, so like a sunroof, so daylight could come in. Ve'el ama tichalena milmala. And terminate it with a cubit on top. U'petach ha-teva betzidat tasim, tachtim u'shnishim u'shim tasel. Have an opening, and it's a three-level boat. Bottom, middle, and top level. Okay?
Is that kind of the roof, or is that first class?
I think it's three inside.
It's first class, second class.
V'ani hini tamabul mayim al ha'aretz. And I, God says, I'm going to bring a flood onto the whole earth. L'shachet kol basar shaburu chayim. To destroy all flesh. V'akimoti et briti itach uvata el ha'teva ata uvanecha v'ishtecha unishay v'anecha itach. And who's coming into this boat? You and your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives. And umikol hachai, mikol basar, shnayim mikol tavil hateva lachayot itach zachar unekeva yihiyu. And of all that lives, of all flesh, you shall take two of each into the ark and keep alive with you. They shall be male and female. And he goes on to explain, meofli minehu, etc., etc. From birds of every kind, cattle of every kind, etc. So this is the requirement, the mitzvah that God gives Noach in terms of building the teva. Okay? So I have a question. Let's review. What did God have to tell Noach to bring into the teva? What exactly did he tell him to bring into the teva?
Family and animals.
Of every clean animal. What's a clean animal?
His family.
Like a potentially kosher animal.
His wife, his family, his sons.
Right, and?
His woman, his wife.
And?
Who?
It's not a trick question.
The animals.
The animals. Right, all the animals. Every living being.
Yeah.
So this should raise a question.
Not a lot of room in there.
Yes. Right? There's not a lot of room in there. I would put it differently. This teva cannot possibly fit two of every living species in the world, right? That's what the text says.
Well, we don't know how many he created. It's only...
Correct. But all we have to assume is that there are
Maybe it was limited.
I don't know. I think actually now we have fewer. Right now, things are extinct. Now things, right? And we would have. It doesn't make a difference how big a cubit is. How big can you think about it now? Can you possibly build a boat that is big enough to fit two of every living thing? It says, according to some, let's see, right? In the Torah, the commandment is to build it 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. And so I'm trying to get a sense of how big that was. But the point is, trying to get a sense of that. But the point is, it doesn't matter
if it's half mile long.
Right, exactly. It doesn't matter.
Okay, so how about that part of that time, there wasn't the world we know now, and there weren't as many animals as we know now? Maybe there weren't polar bears. I mean, maybe there weren't polar bears then.
There's no reason. I don't know. There are less animals now. Now there are animals that are extinct.
Right.
Yeah.
Not only that. You want to
hold on. One at a time. One at a time.
The way I've always thought about that is they're talking about the flood, but they're only talking about the flood in that area of the world.
Okay. One second. According to the Torah, the flood covered the whole world.
Yeah.
And according to the Torah, he had to bring in an animal from every world, from everywhere. So I've seen, by the way, the following suggestion in terms of, by way of illustration, how big Noah's Ark was. According to this view, Noah's Ark was about double the length of a 747.
Double the length.
It's tiny.
DNA.
No, it's not big enough to hold every single animal in the world.
DNA.
Two of them.
He froze the DNA.
Right?
Maybe just the sperm. So then
the question is.
Maybe they just become small animals.
It doesn't say small animals. It's every animal. These are very nice suggestions, but the text says, Umikol hachai.
Not only that,
from everything.
But also the food.
And all the food.
Yeah, but if you saw the movie, he put all the animals to sleep.
The question is, what's going on here? How did this happen? How is it possible that all of these animals fit into this teva, which was only double the size of a 747?
With God, everything is possible.
Ah, okay. So, right. So, excellent. So, Shula and everyone else says the answer is, it was a miracle. Right? That's easy. It was a miracle. Yeah?
This story is not meant to be taken literally.
But that's not the point, though. You're right. Maybe it's not meant to be taken literally. But then why give us such specific measurements? Right? Even if it's not supposed to be taken literally, you're still left with the question of the specific measurements. And the truth is, Dov, if it was not taken literally, then we probably wouldn't have had specific measurements. God would have said, build a teva, and it wouldn't have mattered how big it is because it's all about the fable to teach us something.
How long did it take him to build it?
It doesn't say specific. He says in 40 days, right? He says,
a long time.
Right. It doesn't say. Okay. And he also, by the way, Mikol Abimah HaTorah Tikach Lecha Shiva Shiva. Not only was it two of every, let's say, non-kosher animal, it was seven of every kosher animal. Okay. So, the answer that everyone came up with, except for Dov, is that it was a miracle. Okay, it was a miracle. You have another possibility?
It's impossible. We're not supposed to understand it because it's impossible.
It's impossible. Yeah, but this is not like the creation of the world where we're not supposed to understand it. This is, we know how big an Amma is. We understand these measurements. They're not mysteries. They're there.
You know what Google says? Because it's a long time ago. We don't. Each country then developed cubits and different sizes. Check Genesis. That's their answer.
Let's say we all conclude that it was a miracle. So that should raise another question. Yes.
He didn't have to make them a bull.
As a former engineer.
Yeah.
From shipbuilding point of view, it's quite information period over here.
It's quite what?
Information on the ratio between length, width, and
cannot.
Can. This is very interesting because when we say it's a miracle, we have to recognize that the history of shipbuilding very much takes ratio for...
Interesting. So we're not saying that the ability for the boat to float was a miracle. We're saying the ability for a boat this size to hold everything that the Torah says it was supposed to hold, that's impossible.
You have 14 giraffes in there, right?
Yes. That's impossible. Not that the boat could float, but that it couldn't hold everything it's supposed to hold. So now, bearing in mind...
If God can do everything, so why did he have to destroy the poor animals? He wanted only l'shachet et
ha'shayim. That's a good question. We'll make that next year's topic. But this year's topic is, what are we supposed to make out of this boat? Right? That the boat does not seem to be large enough. If we assume, and maybe that's not true, if we assume that there were basically as many animals in the world today then as there are today, it does not seem to be possible that this boat could have done the job it was supposed to do.
Even if we assume, like dogs, there was only one dog and they breed it all the years and change to two dogs. You know, so now we have hundreds of types. Even if you only take 5% of the animals we have now, you still can't.
Okay, great. So you're in agreement. So it was a miracle. But if it was a miracle, it raises another question.
Why go through the problem of building the boat?
Why just have a rowboat? Just have a rowboat. If this boat was too small, and God, through a miracle, managed to fit all the animals in, then have a rowboat and have an even a bigger miracle. Right? Why do we have to build a boat that's double the size of a 747 if we know that that's already going to be a miracle, some sort of miracle wherein all the animals fit in? Then God could have said, you know what, here's a blow-up raft. And, don't worry.
No.
You'll fit all the animals in.
Well, it has to be some logic in...
No.
But this isn't logical. This size isn't logical.
This is already the rowboat. Compared to what you need, this is already the rowboat.
So why even this? Because you could argue, make the following. If God's going to do a miracle, let him do a miracle.
Maybe he wants to see if Noah would listen.
It should be an evidence. Something to the door.
So you want to see if he would... If Noah would
go to the gym this morning, would
do it. You know, he ordered to build the ark. Maybe he wanted to see if it was worth saving.
Meaning if he told him to build a little rowboat, that would have taken him a couple hours.
If he told him to build a rowboat and that would take a couple hours, that's not such a big deal.
Right, so this is a big deal. So the boat, has really, so this is interesting. So the boat has nothing to do with the animals. That's all smoke and mirrors, that's a miracle. The boat was in order to prove Noah's fidelity, right? Noah's loyalty to God. And so God picked out something which is really big, right? Hold on a second. Takes time to build. It was really big. And if Noah would give up in the middle or say, I'm not building this, this is impossible, maybe God would know that even Noah wasn't worth saving. Okay, that's an excellent answer. That's a great answer, which explains also why there's a miracle. God had to do a miracle because I guess you could make an argument that would have been impossible for Noah to build a boat that was really big enough to fit all the animals. So he stretches Noah to his furthest capacities to build this gigantic boat. And God's not really worried about the animals. He's going to do a miracle. The boat really wasn't intended to save the animals. God was going to figure that out anyway. Mm-hmm. And the boat was only really intended to test Noah. That's an excellent answer. Okay, hold on.
Yes.
You have another answer.
He wanted to create something that remained as a Le Mans movie role, something to be registered
in
history.
So Shula is saying that just, meaning after the flood, right, God wanted some remnant of this event so that people would come, as she says, Leman Yishmu V'yirau. That people would come and they would see it. It's like a monument. You go to the Vietnam War monument in Washington or any other monument, and you realize, right, something awesome, terrible, amazing, right, happened, and this is the proof. So if it was a rowboat, That's a big deal. But now that's double the size of a 747. Anyone who is born after the flood, I guess until the boat no longer existed, right, would be able to come and see, this is the boat, and the reason why we had this boat is because humanity was misbehaving, right? It was like a living Musar monument.
Beware.
Right? Beware of your behavior, because your behavior has ramifications and has this schar v'onesh. And great, that's beautiful too. Again, the boat, again, both these answers are suggesting the boat is not about the animals, because we've already conceded that the boat was too small for the animals. So one, according to Marilyn, it's to test Noah, and according to Shula, it's in order to serve as a Yad Vashem, mm-hmm. as they say, right? Okay, yes.
It's very possible that God wanted to keep some history from Noah's Ark for generation and generation.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and the other holidays, we're teaching our children about Noah's Ark, about the animals, and that it's something meaningful for the children today.
Okay, right. So similar to what Shula is saying, right? That we had God wanted something to remain after the fact that would have been an obvious monument to what happened. Excellent.
Well, he did it because people okay. are still looking for the ark.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
It's another question which we did not discuss. When Noah built those boats, where did he do it? If it would be on the shore, it would be one message, but it's not probably he built on shore. He built it in the middle of nowhere where water is not
right.
near.
Right.
And this is interesting because
No. That's where it landed.
That's where it landed.
We don't know where he built it. The point is if he built it, you know, in a clearing in the forest, not where there's water, that would have also had an impression on people. Like, what's this guy doing building a boat which he's never going to be able to get into sea?
Where he had to build it there.
Next question, how the boat in the middle of land can flow only from and the rain.
Right. Okay, so your answer is a great segue to the Ramban. Okay, because your answer is what the Ramban says, basically. Turn over the page. So the truth is, the two answers that were given are excellent answers. The Ramban offers another answer. He starts with the question that I started with. We're on the second page, where it says, Mikol Basar, the Ramban, Nachmanides, is commenting on the Pasuk that we read, Pasuk 19, Yutet. Yadua ki achayot rabot ma'od. It is known that there are lots of animals. Umehen gedolot ma'od kifilim v'chira'amim v'zulatam. Some of them are very large, like elephants and re'emim. Unclear what that is, in according to the Ramban. Large animals. And others like them. V'haremes haromes al ha'aretz rav ma'od. It is also well known that the small crawling creatures that creep on the earth are exceedingly numerous. Gameh ha'of. Hashamayim, minim rabim ein lahem mispar. When it comes to birds, right, there's a countless number of birds. Ukimosha amru rabotenu, mea vesrim mine ofot timeim yesh b'mizrach v'kulam min ayahen. There's a gemara in Masechet Chulin that there are 120 kinds of unclean birds in the east, and all of them are considered to be of a single species. Like Eddie said, right, you have a species of an animal, but within that species, there are hundreds of subspecies of that animal. Okay?
The problem with that is
right?
those
yes.
subspecies developed well before there were humans on the earth. So how does Noah choose?
Noah doesn't choose. Noah has to bring them all.
Everything.
That's the point. He can't choose.
So you're going to assume that all the species but one were killed and then redeveloped?
They just showed up. No, two of every subspecies it could mean. That's right. Right, exactly, right. Then this right. That's what the Ramban.
Genetically, it does make a sense. Because if you have dinosaur DNA today, you can really have technology
right.
To develop
dinosaurs were gone long before Noah.
Okay, so Dove, that's the point. If all these subspecies had to be on, then we're really out of luck. Okay? So there are countless species of clean birds. Now Noah had to bring specimen of all of those to the ark so that they could reproduce more of their kind, right? Because God didn't say, I'm going to start do this creation thing all over again. you're going to be the only humans, and all the animals are going to be around, and we're going to start again. Hold on. The kasher tesof lekulam ma'achal asher yochal shana tamima, and when you add up the food that would be eaten by all of these for a full year, lo tachil otam hateva hazot velo eser kayotze ba. This boat could not hold all of them, nor could 10 arks like it hold all of them. This is the question we started with. So we're back to our original question. We've answered it according to Marilyn and Shula, but the Ramban is one who posed the question. This boat was not big enough. Aval hunes. It was a miracle. Hechazik mu'at et hamirube. A little held a lot. We're going to stop there before we get to the question that the Ramban has on his own answer. But I saw there was a hand up. Yes.
It says in the Chumash that one of the things, it was a miracle, but if the boat was that size, it didn't look like as much of a miracle. Because somebody just saw large, they didn't figure it out.
So that's the question. Why are we afraid of it looking like a big miracle?
But I'm saying it made it look like less of a miracle.
Yes, but then we'd have to ask why. If God's going to do a miracle, do a miracle.
We're also not asking about other things. We had to store seeds. All the seeds
right,
in the future.
Right.
Plants.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. Because even if not,
could have put man
we
again.
Are stuck. Yes.
Maybe God thought only about the pure animal, not about the mutations.
Remes.
The animal is as he created.
It says, Mikol Hachai, Mikol Basar. He said, Mikol Hachai.
Animals, not the mutations.
What's a mutation of an animal? Like a poodle? Like a poop. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe. You know what? I will concede that there were no poodles. And God would never have created the poodle. Okay. Here we go. So let's look now at the Ramban's question on his answer. V'im tomar ya'asena kitana. Right here. Sort of the last paragraph on the page. V'im tomar. And if you want to say, and this is the suggestion that I gave, Ya'asena kitana v'yismoch al hanes hazeh, you might ask that Noah could have made the ark even smaller and relied on the same miracle of the same area containing a large volume beyond its capacity. Meaning, like I said, just build a rowboat. If it's already a miracle that all these animals are going to fit into this boat, what's the... God could have told him, build a 10-foot boat. I'll take care of where to put the animals, which is what he said now anyway. Right? So why build this big boat, which fools us into thinking that it could fit all the animals? If you think about it, though, for a few minutes, like the Ramban did, we realize that's not possible. Why not? The Ramban is asking, if God's going to do a miracle. Right? Make it more obvious of a miracle. Okay? So, the Ramban now teaches us a fundamental idea that he has about this and about the question in general, and a fundamental idea about miracles. He says as follows. To answer the question, Ra'a Hashem mitbarach la'asota gidola kedei she'yir'u ota b'nei doro. Why did God want to make it this big? So that the people of that generation would see Noach building it. V'yit mehuba, v'yisapru aleha. They would marvel at it, and they would talk about it. V'yidabru b'inyan hamabul, v'chinus habehema v'hachayava of l'tocha. They would then speak about the flood and the gathering of the animals, wild beasts, and birds into it.
We said that already.
Exactly. Ulay ya'asu tshuva. We talk about it a little bit differently. You said that they're going to talk about it after the flood, which is a great answer. The Ramban is saying they talk about it before the flood. What's this guy doing? Noach, what are you doing? I'm building a flood, a boat. Why? Because God's going to kill you. Why? Because you stink. Oh, okay. What are we doing
maybe
wrong?
To give maybe them we'll a last do... chance to make tshuva.
That's what he says. Ulai, exactly. Ulai yasu tshuva. Oh. Maybe he's going to do tshuva as a result of this. That's answer number one. So just review the three answers that we have. We have Marilyn's answer that it was in order to... in order to test Noah. So we need something big. Shula said it was in order to serve as a memorial after the fact. And the Ramban says It was to make an impression beforehand so that the people would do tshuva and maybe they could stave off this entire thing. Okay, those are three answers. Yeah.
But they were all going to die, so who was going to look at the monument?
No.
No, future generations.
Later.
Yeah, of course.
But the people that are looking at the art
obvious.
Saying how wonderful
yes.
people are still looking
no.
for it.
No, no,
okay,
no,
hold
no,
on one second. Let me hello. Okay, let me clarify.
All right.
After future generations would see the teva. Yeah,
right.
That's obvious.
Yeah, but the people who Rambam says to do tshuva right then
yes.
are going to die anyhow.
Not if they do tshuva and God changes his mind.
So
that's the
die.
Whole point. You're attaching her answer and the Ramban's answer. They're separate answers. The Ramban is saying people will see the boat before the flood and they'll do tshuva. And maybe there won't
maybe
be a flood.
Be a flood.
No. And they'll see all the animals prevent stuffed it. Into this.
Yeah, right? That's the Ramban.
Yeah.
That's what the Ramban is saying. And then Shula is saying generations afterwards. And Marilyn says it's for Noah. Okay, those are the three answers. And then the Ramban offers another answer, which gives us an insight into his general approach to miracles. The Ode, another answer. Asu ota gidola lima'et banes. The ark was made big in order to lessen the magnitude of the miracle. Kichein haderech b'chol hanisim shebatorah o b'nevi'im. Right? This is the Ramban setting down a general principle. This is the norm for all miracles related in the Torah of the prophets. Lasot ma shebiyad adam lasot v'ashar yiyeh bidei shamayim. That we try to do, God wants us to do as much as we can to lima'et b'nisim, to minimize the miracle necessary. And then God will do the rest. This is a theme that you find throughout the Ramban in his Perush al Torah and his commentary on the Torah. And it's a sort of a question like this. His assumption, I think the Rambam also has a similar assumption, that God tries to minimize miracles. You could ask a question about why did Bnei Yisrael have to go out and collect the man?
Why didn't
the man just not appear in their tent? Or all sorts of things where there's some level of hishtadlut, there's some level of some level of action, because there's always an attempt lima'et b'nisim, which is actually a very, very important idea in the sense that it reminds us that we're supposed to do as much as we can, right? We're not supposed to rely on miracles. We're supposed to do as much as we can. That's what it means to be sort of a dignified human being, Tselem Elokim, being created in God's image, that we have the capacity to take care of ourselves, and we don't have to rely on miracles, and we don't have to rely on anyone else, right? We say that in Birkat HaMazon, right? That basar vadam, right? We don't want to rely on other people, even, right? There's a certain pride. And a certain level of dignity that a human being has when they can take care of themselves. And so the same goes vis-a-vis God. God put the world in place and built it in such a way that generally speaking, we are able to take care of ourselves. And God sort of just, I got you, Joe, one second. And God just sort of watches and rarely, right, will he step in to do a miracle unless absolutely necessary. That's essentially what the Ramban
says. God himself expects you to do.
Okay, Dove.
Not to say
the problem is, you can think of a lot of other ways to have saved everyone. Other than this, I'm going to make this gigantic area where it won't rain. Build a huge fence around and tell people you got this much time to come in.
Right, but
this miracle is such a miraculous miracle.
So two things. First of all, two things. First of all, any question that we asked about this, we would have asked about that. Why was the area really big enough to hold everyone or not? Second of all, then Marilyn's answer wouldn't have worked. I think Marilyn's right.
We would have built a giant fence
right,
around
but,
the area.
Okay, but then we would have asked the same question. Right then, we would have said the area was big enough, but that's the point. But that goes in the face of the Ramban's principle. He didn't. He. It wasn't. We want to lima eight. You want to lima eight b'nisim.
Lima eight. You wouldn't have to say how.
But that wasn't. That was humanly impossible. But he has. He has to balance between lima eight b'nisim and something that's not possible. It was not possible for Noach to build a boat that was really big enough. So he had. So he had to give him something to meet Marilyn's criteria. But it had to be. Had to be big enough to meet Marilyn's criteria. And to meet the criteria of to hold some of the animals, but lima eight b'nisim. So that's why he didn't build a rowboat, right? So, but I think the point is, no matter what God would have told Noah to do, he would have had some sort of question, some sort of similar question about it. Well, it's because there's only so much that a human being can do. But I think what's really important about the Ramban's final point is this notion about human dignity. Right, the notion about our ability and desire to do things on our own without relying, and I think there's a right one the best I think the best not contemporary but modern example of that, right, is the state of Israel, right? That's the best example of doing things on our own, right? There are two shitot out there in the world when it comes to building the Jewish state. One is we're going to wait for Mashiach to do it.
Okay. That's
okay. Good. And the other is no. We're going to do it as best as we can on our own. We're going to exert our own dignity, and we are going to take control, right, of our own lives. That was very much part of the whole Zionist project, which was for 2,000 years, other people were in charge of our destiny. And they said, die, right? No more. We're going to now be in charge of our own destiny. And that's the same idea of the dignity of a human being, which I think is what underlines the Ramban.
Lema'et b'nes also to show God's modesty.
Same with Columbus.
Okay, yes.
I wanted to ask you, Rabbi, is God finally was happy with Noah's ark when he tested him? That he was happy what Noah was doing? There's any explanation for
all him? We know is that Noah did what God told him to do, and God must have been somewhat satisfied because he did save him.
Wasn't he going to save him anyhow, and just the rest of the people weren't going to be saved? Wasn't that why he told him to build?
Yeah, but he must have. I mean, God, Noah. Yeah, that's true. The Torah says that Noah did what God told him to do. Right, he built the ark and he did what God told him to do. He got in the ark, he lived in it, and then he came out. Yeah.
Rabbi, I just would like to bring interesting archaeological discovery.
Please.
For last 100 years or so, maybe even less. In the Middle East, in Mesopotamia, we had a story of blood mentioned among three different nations. First, Sumerians, second one, Akkadians, and third one,
Hebrews.
Yeah.
And we Hebrew really came much later.
Later, yeah.
It means that what I would like to suggest that the answer on the flood and no story, and actually no name in Sumerian epic of Gilgamesh, we should reveal the story to modern generation who already raised of understanding the history and archaeology differently, which is talking about this. It would not be very attractive because everything that exists is actually, if you want, on a big scale, it's actually creation.
Right.
But at the same time, we are very much a product of scientific environment. That's why
right.
I'm saying that in this story, even about boat, which I was glad that somebody did those engineering comparisons and proved that this particular boat can flow.
Right.
It's not every boat can flow.
Right.
But when you take dimensions and as much of the details that it says over there, it is very much
okay.
survivable.
Right. Right.
Vehicle.
Okay. All right. So I think we're going to end it here. Thank you, everybody. Yashikoach. Have a wonderful day, and I will.